Well, this morning we're going to finish up this series in 1 Peter that we've been in for about the last 3 months, started back in the summer, and now we're winding up here in November in a series we called Standing Firm in Shaky Times. And we've been looking at what Peter was saying to believers who were suffering, being persecuted because of their faith. Because they were believers, they were going through difficult times. He even called it a fiery ordeal in 1 Peter 4:12. So they're undergoing severe times of persecution and pain. And I wanted to finish up this week and last week, this series, with what I think are the two best known verses in 1 Peter. So last week we looked at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says, "Cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you." Here's the verse that gives us this promise and really this admonition. Take all of our anxiety, all of our worries. You know, in the Bible, we're described as sheep who follow the shepherd. And you thought, I was just thinking this week, you know, sheep are animals that weren't created to bear burdens. And so as followers of God, we aren't created to bear burdens. We take all of our anxieties and we cast them on the Lord. But then you turn right around to get to verse numbers 8. And verses 8 and 9 say, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." I think verse 8 is that second best known verse. Your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And Peter says, "Now resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." And so Peter gives his final warning to us. The Bible clearly teaches us two truths. One is that we have a powerful enemy. We have a powerful enemy in the person of Satan. The second truth is that we are in a spiritual battle. We're really in a spiritual war. Often in the middle of a trial, in the middle of suffering, in the middle of a test, that's when Satan will attack us. You might remember he came after Jesus when Jesus was the most vulnerable. He was suffering. He'd been in the desert for 40 days fasting. That's when Satan will come against us, when we're going through the most difficult of times, when we are the most vulnerable. I heard someone once say that God uses trials to strengthen our faith, and Satan uses trials to weaken our faith. But we must be aware of his attacks, especially during those trials. You think about it. When we suffer, the devil often tempts us to believe that God no longer cares about us, has abandoned us, and we're tempted just to turn our back, abandon God, and walk away from him. Or when we suffer, the devil may tempt us to think that life is better for everybody else, especially those who don't follow Christ, and that we think, and we're tempted to think, that if we abandon Christ, our suffering will be relieved and life will be better. And so we're tempted either to think that, well, Christ has abandoned us, or we're tempted to think, well, we'd be better off abandoning Christ. When it comes to thinking about spiritual warfare, the two extremes in understanding the devil are to be avoided. These really are two deadly errors. One is to dismiss the devil, to think that he's not real, to think that there is no devil, and just dismiss it. The other extreme is, of course, you believe in the devil, but then you obsess on the devil. You think that everything bad that happens to you is the cause of the devil doing that. C.S. Lewis once wrote in the little book Screwtape Letters, he says,
"All right. Okay. See, there's the devil right there doing that." But Peter's, you know, it's interesting that Peter says in verse 7, you know, don't worry about anything. Cast all your cares upon the Lord. He'll take care of you. He basically says, relax. But then you turn to the next verse in verse 8, and he says, "Now don't forget you have an enemy that's out to get you. Resist." And there's the tension between those two things. It's if the Lord says, "I didn't make you carefree so you'd be careless." In essence, he's telling us to be careful. And it's interesting, as I thought about Peter writing these verses, I thought about what Jesus said to Peter in Luke 22:31, where he said, "Simon, Simon," speaking to Simon Peter, He says, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. In other words, Simon, Satan has asked for you to take you through the grist mill and to sift you like wheat. This is something that Peter knows and has understood and experienced personally. And so what I'm going to do is just wrap this up by talking about three ways and how we can resist the devil, how we can fight this spiritual battle. So here's number one. Number one is realize that you're in a war. You're in a real war with a real enemy, that we never want to take it for granted. We never want to be complacent. We never want to forget it. And so Peter says in verse 8, the first part, he says, be alert and of sober mind. So he gives these two commands. Be sober-minded, which means to be spiritually serious. Then he says, be alert. Be on watch. Be careful. He's almost as he's saying there's a danger in being spiritually intoxicated, that somehow you have this desire to be comfortable, to be blessed. You don't want to live life with any problems or any pain. Basically, he says, do not be drunk with materialism, comfort, pleasure, with self-centered thinking. Be spiritually serious, sober-minded. Then he says, be on high alert. This is a military term that basically means be aware of your surroundings. You're like a soldier that's been deployed in enemy territory. So know that you're always in danger. Paul said it this way in 1 Thessalonians 5:6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep. In other words, be awake. Don't fall asleep. Let us be awake and sober. Paul writes about this spiritual battle in these best known verses of Ephesians chapter 6. And so he says in Ephesians 6:12 that our struggle, the struggle that you're going through, whatever it is you're dealing with, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I like how the Message paraphrases it. It says, this is no afternoon athletic contest that we'll walk away from and forget about it in a couple of hours. In other words, this isn't a game. This is for keeps. This is a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and his angels. Are you alert? Are you sober-minded? Are you an alert, sober believer, aware of the enemy, especially during these times that we're living in that are so unusual, things that we've never dealt with? As we talked about this pandemic, we usually talk about it in terms of physical things, or we talk about even the psychological, emotional toll that it takes. But we must never forget that while it is physical and psychological and emotional, it's spiritual. There's also something that's happening spiritually. And so Christians need to be alert for the obvious and subtle schemes of the devil. The enemy is actively trying to get us to disregard God's word, doubt his love, gossip, slander, complain, hate, bitterness, to be unforgiving, or to buy into some kind of weird false teaching, not to pursue priorities of God, ignore God's means of grace, and so much more. So he says, be sober and alert. Why? Well, because this is war. Realize you're in a real spiritual battle. So number two, once you understand you're in a war, understand your enemy. Understand who you're dealing with and what's happening. And so Peter says those very familiar words that are so vivid. I imagine in your imagination you have a picture of this. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. And so there's the image that you have. He's looking for someone to devour. It's quite a word picture that Peter gives us. And he's not talking about going down to the zoo and looking at a lion that's in a cage and behind glass. He's talking about, on the other hand, being out in the wild of Africa and hearing the roar of a lion in the middle of the night, knowing that he is free and is hungry and comes after you at any time that he wants. He says it's your enemy. So it means it's a personal enemy of every one of us, but that your is also plural, meaning he's not only the enemy that you and I have, he's the enemy of the church. of the enemy that we fight as a church is the devil. And Peter calls him the devil. So let's look at his name. One of his best, the best known name we call him here is the devil. The devil is that Greek word diabolos that just means slanderer or accuser. And so Satan is the accuser that always casts lies and false accusations against you. Or he's called Satan. And that's the Hebrew name that means adversary. And so he is an adversary. And that's what Paul's talking about. You have an enemy, an adversary, the devil. Where does he come from? Maybe you've wondered, where did the devil come from? Well, the Bible tells us a little bit about that, not as much as we might be curious to want to know, but the Bible tells us that the devil is a real fallen angel that was created by God and then rebelled against God. He was one of the archangels, one of the highest ranking cherubs in heaven. And so he was created by God, but not created as the devil as we know him. He was created without sin. With a free will, he chose and rebelled against God. And the book of Revelation tells us there was a war that broke out in heaven. And then Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14 tell us how he was cast out of heaven. Or it says in Revelation 7:12-7, then a war broke out in heaven. And then it says Michael the archangel, Satan, Lucifer, and his fallen angels that rebelled against God were involved in this cosmic heavenly war. It says, then the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, cast out of heaven, the fallen angel who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth and his angels with him. And so we have the fallen angel, Satan, the devil, and then his demons, a third of the angels of heaven fell with him doing his bidding. Jesus said it this way in Luke 10, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. So Jesus was there, pre-existent. He saw it all happen. But what's he doing? Well, Peter tells us, well, he's just like a hungry lion that should be feared. And he's on the prowl, sneaking around in very subtle ways, but he's strong and powerful, looking for someone to devour. And I want you to think about that image of the evil one. He is seeking to devour you and me, the church, seeking to destroy and to kill. Satan wants to kill you. He's not primarily interested in making your life hard, although he doesn't mind doing that. He doesn't really want to make you struggle in life. He wants to destroy your life. He may discourage you, but that's not his ultimate goal. All those things are okay, but what he's really looking to do is to kill you. He wants to kill you. He wants to eat you alive and rip you to shreds. Causing you to suffer is good, but killing you is better. Satan wants you dead. He wants you off this planet where you can make a difference for Christ. And if he can't kill you, then he wants to ruin you as a Christian. It literally means he wants to eat you up, gulp you down, emphasizing the fact that the ultimate objective of the devil is not to wound you, but to destroy you. And he'll use this world and his demons to ruin you. Or he'll even, as God uses humans to do his will, Satan can use humans to do his bidding. He'll use human agents to intimidate you or to kill you. But Paul reminds us, that's not who we're fighting. It's not flesh and blood. Ultimately, it is the evil one, the prince of darkness. And if Satan's not allowed to take your life from you, then he will take everything else he can in order to destroy you, crush you, and ruin your witness. He wants to destroy you. And he gives everything he can to doing that. Jesus said these words about Satan, speaking to the religious leaders of that day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Jesus himself says he is a murderer and a liar, seeking to kill you and never speaks the truth. So what's he doing? Well, he's accusing, he's attacking and falsely accusing believers before the throne of God, or even accusing you to yourself. He's tempting believers to sin and to abandon their faith. He's inflicting sickness and disease on many occasions. He's promoting false religions. He's also preventing people from hearing the gospel. Look what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4. Satan, that adversary who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You know, if you have someone that you're praying for that would come to know Christ, someone that you love that's far away from God, and you just find yourself, why can't they believe? Why don't they understand? Why don't they see what I've seen? Why don't they believe what I believe? I just don't know what's keeping them from believing in Jesus Christ. This helps you understand that. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place, a stronghold in their life. The only way that you can break that stronghold that's keeping someone you love from coming to Christ is ultimately to live a faithful witness before them and pray that that stronghold will come down and the God of this world will give them sight that they can see. Here's Satan's plan and his strategy. This is what he's working very hard to do every day, even at this moment. He wants to discourage you and to keep you from worshiping God. He wants to distract you to keep you from serving God. He wants to deceive you to keep you from obeying God. And if he can keep you from worshiping and serving and obeying God, he's well on his way to destroying your life. This is what Satan's doing. This is what his ultimate goal is. He wants to take you and everybody you love to hell with him. That's what he's doing. He wants to take you and everybody you love to hell. You need to understand that we're in a real spiritual battle. So the third thing we want to see is, how do we fight the enemy? How do we fight this enemy of the devil? And so this is what Peter says. In verse 9 he says, resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. So the Bible teaches us how to fight the devil. And it's really a simple strategy. It's never talking to him. It's never claiming power over him. It's not even really claiming authority over him. It is resisting him in the power of Jesus Christ, standing firm in the faith in the gospel of truth. James says it this way, so humble yourselves before God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and his authority. Resist the devil. Stand your ground against the devil, and he will flee from you. So how do you resist the devil? Well, it just begins by acknowledging the reality of the enemy. You understand there is an enemy and that you don't have to be afraid of him, but you need to respect him. I'm not intimidated by the devil, but I do respect him. Then we read in 2 Corinthians 2:11. Well, Paul says, Satan's not going to outsmart us if we are familiar with his evil schemes, if we understand him. And so this is where Peter, Paul, James, they all say, resist him. And that word's a military term. It means you stand your ground and you refuse to retreat. Hold your ground by faith. Refuse to retreat in unbelief. You put your entire trust in God, standing firm in the faith. And the weapons that we fight with are not weapons of the world, but they are spiritual weapons. So Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10, for though we live in this world, we do not wage war as the world does. We don't fight the same way the devil fights. The weapons we fight with are not weapons of this world, but on the contrary, the weapons we fight with, they are spiritual weapons that have divine power to demolish strongholds. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 6:10. He says, finally, be strong in the Lord and mighty in his power. Put on the full armor of God. Begin with the helmet of salvation. and begin to arm yourself. Then once you know Christ, you put on the breastplate and the belt and the feet. You put on the gospel truth. You are able to stand against the attacks the devil comes against you. You stand firm. And this is what it means to stand firm in the faith. It's through the word of God. It's through the scripture that we have in our hearts and our mind. We only speak the word of truth to the devil. That's all Jesus spoke to him. We see it all in the Gospels. It is written, and he spoke God's word to him. So we're saturated in the word of God and in the scripture. We resist him through prayer. It says, Jesus said in Mark 14, watch and pray so you do not fall in temptation. And so it's through God's word. It's through prayer. It's through living a life of worship. It's through worship, what we've done today collectively. It's what we do daily in worshiping, praising God. We fill our lives with worship. And then fourthly, we draw strength from fellowship with other believers in this family of believers. You know, Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one because one can help another one when they're in trouble. And better yet, a triple braided cord can't even be broken. You know, one of the dangers of this pandemic, I think, is the danger of disconnection and being isolated. And we have to work extremely hard during these times to stay connected however we can with the family of God and embrace other believers. Because when we're isolated and alone, we become weak and we become easy for the devil to pick off. But you know, we're told in the scripture that we have in Satan, we have an accuser, and we have an adversary. But let me just close with this and remind you. It says in 1 John 2:1, if anyone sins, and we do, we also have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. And there's the good news of the gospel, that we have an advocate in Jesus Christ who pleads our case. He's the one that goes before us to the throne room in the Father. He's the one whose blood covers us over. He's the one whose strength indwells us. And we stand firm in that. And so this is what I want to pray for us as we end this series and this message today, is that we stand firm, especially as we go through these difficult times that are, well, they're shaky, times of suffering, they're times of the unknown. And my prayer for you is that you'll stand firm. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, we know that we're in a real, real battle. Sometimes it's easy for us to forget who the real battle is with. We think it's other people, or we think it's circumstances that mount up against us. Father, it's easy for us to forget this. This is a spiritual battle, not a flesh and blood, but against the principalities, the rulers, against the evil one of this dark world. And Father, may we stand firm in the true grace of God as we maybe suffer simply because we are Christians. We sometimes are tested. Father, may we stand firm knowing that while the world may take everything away from us, it cannot take our glorious identity or imperishable future, because we are the elect exiles, set apart by the Holy Spirit, a holy priesthood. For the salvation is accomplished by Christ, and now we're on our way home. May we stand firm knowing that even though the world may come against us, may even try to kill us, we've been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an imperishable inheritance. May we stand firm knowing that God does not waste our suffering. May we remember that as believers, every suffering we experience is purposeful and meaningful, but it's also passing and temporary. That, Father, you intend for our suffering to purify our faith in order that we may obtain our future salvation when Christ is revealed. We stand firm knowing that our Lord Jesus Christ traveled the road marked with righteous suffering and blazed the path for us to follow. We stand firm knowing that if we suffer for doing good, we'll be blessed and we'll be exalted to the glory as Christ was. We stand firm knowing that we share in Christ's suffering. And as we share in those sufferings, we're proven to be Christians. We stand firm by humbling ourselves under God's mighty hand, knowing that he will exalt us. Father, we rejoice that we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. And I pray for each person here, and I pray for our church, and I pray for other churches and the church, that, Father, we may stand firm in these times. And as our faith is being tested, Father, we resist the evil one. That is the real battle and the real enemy we're fighting. And, Father, we place all of our hope and all of our strength that comes from Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. And God bless you. Have a great week.